Citizen Kabbalah has taught us is that the hachana, the preparing to go to that place of holiness, is actually in certain ways that yearning, that svirata omer, in certain ways is even holier than the thing itself. And spiritually speaking, we're kind of drawing off the negative klipot, off of the grapes, as we prepare ourselves to say this bracha. So let's sing this nigun one more time and then we'll say brach together. Told by one of my rebbeim, goes back to the Beis Hamikdash. The Levim used to sing it to Sefirat Omer in the Beis Hamikdash. It's pretty special. All right. So tonight,
Bardishev, right?
No, not the Bardishev and Negin. I'm saying that also, but I'm saying according to one of my rebbeim, that's where it comes from. Who knows? Gavad. So tonight, I wanted to learn a little bit of a hachana for Lag BaOmer. Start off with some memories, personal memories. Baruch Hashem, I've had a lot of memories about Lag BaOmer that I've had in my life. And each of these memories, I think, makes the question stronger, which is, what the heck is the deal with Lag BaOmer? It is a very weird, strange holiday. And so I'll start off when I was a kid. I don't know what the minhag is by you guys, but the minhag in Brooklyn was always Lag BaOmer. You go to Marine Park and you play baseball. Everybody played baseball on Lag BaOmer. And I don't know why that was the minhag. And in particular, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, if you know anything about him, he's all about learning Torah, like every free moment. So I think it's very strange that we go and play sports. I put my frisbee, like, you know, bow and arrow. What the heck does that have to do with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? It's just very strange. Yeah, everyone agrees it's kind of strange. It's fun, but what does that have to do with it? That's memory number one. The next memory I remember was, so I went to Meron when I was in Bar Ilan, just because like I heard all in Israel, Lag BaOmer, it's crazy, it's the craziest party you guys are going to go soon, you'll see it's wild. It was like a 4-hour bus ride. They were burning stuff in Bnei Brak, burning random things. It was very strange. We get there. It's like endless food.
Did you bring inside?
Ooh, Truman Leiser. Yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait a little bit.
You have to give it to me.
Before you, I wait a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because the fruits very strong of such holiness that we need to take off the klipos before we raise them up. But if it's outside, it's hefker. So the Truman Meister laws don't fall upon them, but once you bring them into a house, it's not longer a hefker. You have to separate Truman Meister on the fruits.
How do you do that?
It's a whole process. That's why I said we'll do it after Shir. We can talk about it. There's a formula you have to take. You have to separate a certain amount. Anyways, okay. You guys are welcome to take more grapes or whatever you want. So experience number two. I get up to the Rashbi, and it's people shechting goats. What the heck's going on here? Flowing wine, grape juice, filthy amounts of weird. Like, it was just really dirty. I think now it's a lot better, but I was like, what is going on here? We tried to get to the kever. I just couldn't get it. It was impossible. A few years afterwards, I was a madrich at Reshit. Brought like 10 guys, and we were like a football team, like getting in there, you know, to get to the kever of the Rashbi. Are we davening to the Rashbi? It was a lot of fun, but it didn't make any sense. Like, what the heck is going on here? That's question number two.
Did you daven to the Rashbi?
I hope I didn't. I hope I davened to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it looks like a lot of people are davening to the Rashbi. And like, what's going on here? Okay, that's question number two. Memory number three. So I went there another year and had a much more positive experience because I didn't just go for a night. I went for a whole Shabbos. And I made a lot of friends. We did a Karlbach davening there. It was like a Shabbat Lag BaOmer. And it was awesome. I had a great time. But I have to say, what does that have to do with the Rashbi? The Rashbi was one of those guys who, instead of taking that 5 minutes to daven Shmona Esrei, what did he say? Pitel Torah, I can't daven. And he would steig. That was the Rashbi. Wow. And I'm making a Karlbach minion, davening for an hour and a half? Like, what does that have to do with the Rashbi? Like, who am I kidding? Okay, so that's the, yeah, Gemara says that we're going to see it in there hopefully, but that he would say Shema, but he wouldn't sit daven Shmona Esrei because he was so immersed in his Torah.
Wow.
Wild and crazy.
So what is...
Finally, my final... I wouldn't say final. Actually, this year I was up at the Rashbi just a few weeks ago and a beautiful experience davening there. But my final kashya, on the way up to just a few weeks ago to the Rashbi, I think I told you guys, I had a great conversation with these Hasidim. They saw I was learning Hasidus, and they were very anti-Zionist. I later discovered why that was. They were all going together to protest the Medina and the army and the government. And where was it naturally the place for them to go if you want to protest, people going to the army?
The Rashbi.
The Kever of the Rashbi. Because, of course, the Rashbi in their minds represents what? Haredi Judaism. Torah. Not Torah V'Avodah, Torah. And therefore, all this army stuff, we don't need it. Just Torah, Muna V'Zeu. And so, how could I, as a Da'ati Lumi, person who believes in Torah and Avodah, go to the same Kever? As you know, and down at the same place, like how for a Dati Lumi or modern Orthodox Yid does Lag BaOmer make any sense? Yeah, you hear the kashya? It's a good kashya. Okay, we'll try our best. So, you're chayev to say Shema in the morning and in the evening, and we are chayev to daven three times a day, but someone whose Torah is Umanato. Like the Rashbi, he at least at that time period would have been exempt. We assume nowadays that there's no one in that category, so everyone's chayav to daven.
But if you're doing Purim or
if you're in the middle of a shir and you're teaching the Rabbim, there's a shaila if you have to. You could skip davening and daven do a hashlama.
Let's say you're doing Purim and you're trying to take step by step with someone that's trying to become more religious and he wants to know what he's chayav to say every morning just as that first step.
He's chayef to say Shema and Shmona Esrei, but you know, depending on the situation.
It
depends on the nature of the chesed you're doing. Meaning, if it's a chesed that can be done by somebody else, then you stop. If it's a chesed that must, like a meis mitzvah, and no one else can do it, then you don't stop to daven Shmona Esrei. It all depends on the scenario. It's an interesting, you know, Dola Kabbalah Tashchina, Kabbalah Sorachini, Kabbalah Tashchina, that's the whole sugya there. If you're davening Shmona Esrei and guests come at the door, do you stop your Shmona Esrei or do you to greet the guests or do you keep davening? It's a good shir for another day. But I want to get back into the Rashbi, Lag BaOmer, what's that, all that. So if you look on source page number one, source Aleph. I quoted the Halakha of Malamed Pnini Alochay is a beautiful, beautiful couple of paragraphs on in Zmanim about Lag BaOmer. I think it's Kedai. Read it inside. Don't just take this little passage. It's a little out of order today, so just take page one. Don't worry about the rest right now. We'll do each page one at a time. Everybody got one? Here. There you go. There you go. So, the Pnei Nelech writes, Bezohar Nikra Yom Yistalkut Rabbi Shimon Hilula. So we know that there are many reasons why we celebrate Lag BaOmer. Right, one is the fact that the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai stopped dying. Students of Rabbi Akiva, sorry. That's one tradition. But that's kind of, okay, that's reason to maybe not mourn. But is that reason to celebrate? The fact that people stopped dying? And others say, this is the day that the students of Rabbi Akiva started being taught. That's another tradition. And there's all different traditions. But according to the Kabbalistic tradition, there's the Masorah, that this day of Lag BaOmer is called a Hilula. What does Hilula mean? Anybody know?
Like Hala.
Like Hala. So some explain praise. That it's related to praise. Another explanation? Shehu kamo nisuin. Hilula means a marriage, a wedding. Okay? That on the day that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai died, it's called a wedding. And it's interesting that that's the day that we're allowed to do weddings. Why? Misipur beidra sutra. So there's a Kabbalistic sefer. Sheptirato, when the Rashbi, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai died, gilas sodot amukim shelefneken lo hershalegalot. When he passed away, there were secrets that were revealed in the world that were not allowed to be revealed before he died. In other words, as long as you're in a physical body, your light is kind of being mitzumtzam. It's being contracted. But when the Rashbi's soul was allowed to go free, when it died, it was like that light was able to spread far and wide in full sense. And because of that, the Torah was able to come down to the world. And that Torah, a great light shone in the room, and that Torah went out to the world. And that's what happened on Lag BaOmer. So on this day, his students can draw in a much deeper way from his Torahs. So in essence, what the Pnini Halacha is telling us is that Lag BaOmer is Kabbalah Day. It's the day when we are not just celebrating his death, we're celebrating the light of the Kabbalah, the Torah Tasod, the Torah of Chassidus and Kabbalah, which went out to the world on Lag BaOmer. Okay? Ad kan. And that's in the simplest sense. That's what Lag BaOmer is all about. We'll get back to that. But I want to take us for a spin for something, a really interesting idea. Just yesterday, I was in Tachna Merkazi, and this random dude comes up to me and gives me a sefer. He gave it. I was like, for free? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, sure. So I took it. And I've been learning. It's all about Lag BaOmer. And so I based this here on this random sefer on Lag BaOmer. It's called Lag BaOmer. I'll give it to you. Have it here. And some other shirim that I've heard. And he had a really cool chiddush. So it's written, brought down in Sefer Gilgulim. Right? Remember who wrote that?
Ari.
The Rav Chaim Vital wrote it based on the Ari, right? Exactly, based on the Rizal's revelations. That Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the Gilgul of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. Pretty cool. Makes sense. Very nice. Makes sense, right? But what does that mean? So first of all, before we even get to what that means, a few, we're doing a little Rav Dovidel Torah tonight, so a few remezim. So the Shar Yisachar writes that Lag BaOmer, you count up the Gematria, it works, is in Gematria as Moshe. Okay, pretty cool. Fun. Good to know. Even cooler. Oto Yom Shechal Lag BaOmer, on the day that Lag BaOmer comes out, like this year it'll be Wednesday night. Chal Yom Revi Shel Sukkos. On that day is the fourth day of Sukkos. They align. Oh yeah? Cool. And what's the fourth day of Sukkos? The Yom Ushpiza de Moshe. At least according to the Kabbalistic tradition, that's the day that Moshe comes in and visits us. So Moshe's energy and Rashbi's energy are aligned.
What's Sukkos to Rashbi?
What does Sukkot have to do with Rosh Hashanah? Well, we definitely dance on Sukkot, and we dance a lot at the Rosh Hashanah's Kippur. No, so the Lag BaOmer is always comes out on the fourth day of Sukkot, and the fourth day of Sukkot, it's the same day of the week.
Oh, same day of the week.
Same day of the week. Yeah, and so, and the fourth day of Sukkot is when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down to the world.
Who wrote the Shari Sefer?
I have no idea, but it was in that book. I'm sure he's a very great yid, whoever he was.
Where's he from?
I don't know. Probably Europe. I think it's a different.
Who wrote this book?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
I don't know. That's the deepest thing. You know that you just don't know.
It doesn't say in the book.
It just says his name.
What if his name is Yisachar?
His name's definitely Yisachar. And by the way, Yisachar is very deeply connected to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The shin of Yisachar, that's the whole Torah in the Mitzvah.
Isn't Shimon?
Isn't
Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai also Mechaya Mason?
Probably.
Everybody mentioned the Gemara.
The Stama, yes. Okay, let's keep going. Okay, yeah.
Okay, when was the calendar finalized and formalized?
Ooh, that's a great question. After the time of the Gemara. But I don't know exactly when. Why?
Because if they followed on the same day with the finalized and formalized calendars, I don't know if they...
Yeah, but if Hashem runs the world, he can align it that even
God,
if...
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? Okay. That's why the gematria of God is 26. If you do G, O, and D, if you count it up, it's 26. But English, doesn't matter. God runs the world. He can make their meaning in everything. And that's why Bible quotes could work, but that's a whole different cheer. Anyways... Now, guys, check this. We'll get back to Halach L'maisa, but check this. This is really cool. So, we know in the Torah, Eilu b'nei Leah, asher yaldah Yaakov padan Aron. So Leah had children. V'adina bito kol neshav v'nav v'mutav shloshim v'shalosh. And all the children of Leah, how many children did Leah have? 33 children. Now, wouldn't it be cool if in some way Lag BaOmer was connected... You know, to this Indian of the 33. So, wait a second. Who is that 33rd child? Because if you count it up, you only have 32. You actually go through the math. But who is the 33rd child that we forgot about? The secret child?
Leah, 32 children?
Not Leah, but the children who descended from Leah, who went down to Mitzrayim at the 70, there was 33 who descended from Leah, says the Torah.
The person born on the gate.
Okay, so who is the person that was born on the gate?
I just have it.
Oh, so Rashi writes in source Hey, El Zu Yocheved Shenolda Ben Achomot Pnikinisatam La'ir. Yocheved was born between the walls. She was it's not mentioned, but she was secretly there, born. And although it wasn't mentioned, she's there. Now, who is Yocheved?
The mother. Moshe's mother.
The mother of Moshe
Rabbeinu. 122.
Gishmak. The mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, the 33rd child. She was a hidden child. Pretty cool.
Wow.
Okay. Kavav. So all of this is very sweet. What does it mean, Lamaisa? Okay, so we see that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Moshe Rabbeinu are very connected. What? Yes, page number 2. But even before I give you page number 2, let me ask you guys. So what? What's the connection between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai?
Both revolutionized Judaism.
How did they revolutionize it? Exactly.
Me too.
Moshe Rabbeinu represents giving down of the Torah Shebal Shebichtav. And the Rashbi represents the Torah Shebal Peh. In particular, what aspect of the Torah Shebal Peh?
Yisodim.
The Torah Tasod. The Torah of secrets. The Torah of connection. If you whisper something like a sod, you have to connect with it. Right? So, says the Tzvila Tzadik, just like you guys said, who's the Tzvila Tzadik? I don't know. Moshe lo yishlim chelek hanistar l'Yisrael ad shebar Rashbi v'gila chelek hanistar. Right? Moshe revealed one aspect, Rashbi came in and revealed the hidden aspect. Gevalt, and this is also, by the way, the pshat in this famous Gemara, which is written when you go to Meron, you'll see that this is the Gemara that appears on the kever of the Rashbi in Meron. Gemara says, Tan Rabban, when the rabbis came to Keren B'Yavna, Amru Atida Torah Shishtakech Yisrael. They said eventually the Torah is going to be forgotten from Israel. And they have a proof. The pasuk says, "Hinei Yamim Ba'inu Hashem." There's going to be days that were coming. Ishlach li rab ba'aret, and I'm going to send a hunger to the earth. Lora evalechem lo tzame lamayim ki nishmahu alim nishmahu divrei Hashem. There's going to be a thirst to hear the word of God. If there's going to be a thirst to hear the word of God, mashma, that, what's going to happen? That the Torah is going to be forgotten. Chasron, there's going to be a time period when people are going to forget Torah. Tanya Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, comes Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, stands up in the Beis Medrash. Amar chas v'sholom shetistachech Torah Yisrael. God forbid that the Torah will be forgotten in Israel. Shenemar ki lo tishkach mi pizara. The Torah will never be forgotten from your children. Rashbi stands up and he says, Bezrat Hashem, we're going to light the fire. The Torah will never be completely forgotten. So on the simplest level, Moshe Rabbeinu and Rashbi complete each other. And Rashbi is the one who's guaranteeing that in every generation, the pnimius, the essence, the depth of Torah will never be forgotten. The Rabbanan, the rabbis, were like, no, it's going to be forgotten. And the Rashbi says, no, I'm going to make sure that this Torah will never be forgotten. I'm going to light that fire. And then Rabbi Nachman and Chassidim say that they're the next Gilgul to bring the Torah of the Rashbi to our generation. Some say...
Is that the union of the five shepherds?
It could be. Shulchan Aruch, I think, also might have been another Gilgul. Maybe the Gilgul.
Some say Rosh
Hashanah.
Rublau. Rublau. You could ask Rublau about this. Kvah. Okay.
Briskarov.
So, on the simplest level, they're connected. I think this is all very nice, but I want to bring it down to earth. I think there's a very, very practical thing that we can take that both Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai have in mind. And that is, how was Moshe Rabbeinu zoche to mekabel the Torah? What was it that made him ra'ui to receive that Torah? What do you guys think?
Anava.
Definitely was anava. Definitely was making himself a vessel, which is the only way to really receive the Torah, is to make yourself a kli through that anava. For sure, and definitely Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai being in that cave for 12 years, there can be nothing more humbling than that experience. And if we have time, Be'ezrat Hashem, either today or maybe on Friday, we'll talk about how that cave experience ties into it, for sure. What else, besides for another, what else helped Moshe Rabbeinu receive the Torah?
Living in isolation.
Living in isolation, exactly. And doing what?
Shepherding.
Shepherding, for sure. Right, it's also like the cave. The quiet.
Passion.
But on the pshat level, passion, we're going to talk about that in a second. I think if we look in Shemot Perek Lamed Dalet, you see something very simple. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he goes up to Har Sinai, Visham im Hashem arba'im yom v'arba'im ma'ayim, he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. Lechem lo'ochal u'mayim lo'shata. He didn't eat food and he didn't drink. Mechtov ha'luchot divrei abrit aseret ha'divrei. And then he wrote the Ten Luchos. And no, we don't live ascetic Judaism, but we have to be aware that in order to mekabel the Torah on the highest level, Moshe Rabbeinu did have to remove himself from physicality and be completely immersed in the realm of spirituality and godliness, and only then was he able to really receive the Torah on the most pristine level. Okay, that's pshat. It's not the... Okay? What does it have to do with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai?
Oh, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai lived in a cave for...
Yeah.
12 years.
First of all, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai lived in a cave, and what did he do in that cave? What was he eating?
Torah.
All he did to learn Torah. What did he eat?
Carrots.
Right, he was just eating kruvim. He was, you know, totally immersing himself in the spirituality with no room for physicality. Yeah. Right? In addition to this, I think this is something that we see throughout Rabbi Shimon's way of life. For example, in the Gemara Brachos, that's first cat, Hey Amad Olf. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Shalosh matanot tovot natana kadosh baruch hu Yisrael. Three gifts God gave the Jewish people. But all of these gifts, the only way to really receive these gifts is through pain. It's through pain, through afflictions. Eluhen, everybody know what are the three gifts that Hashem gives us?
Torah,
Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. The only way to receive Torah is through pain. The only way to receive Eretz Yisrael is through pain, and the only way to receive Olam Haba is through pain, is through working hard.
So is all that pain in him being in the cave for 12
days? So I think for him, he's one to talk. His skin was parched. He was completely submerged in spirituality. He gave up his life for Torah, right? He was running away. He could have just stopped learning Torah, but he ran away from the Romans for Torah, and therefore was able to connect with Torah. I think last week, some of the guys after the shiur were asking me, like, what was that moment that I decided to make Aliyah? I was thinking about it, and I remember that it was not when I went on an awesome, beautiful teul and I saw a gorgeous view in the Golan, although that's awesome too. But I remember it was when I was on a shift in the army at like 2 in the morning, and like I just felt a very deep connection towards Eretz Yisrael, and like I felt like I gave towards this land, and I love this land. I don't want to leave it. And it was a longer journey, but for me, I think that's true in life. When you give towards something, when you feel pain towards something, then you really feel connected to it. If it's just a high, you're not really invested. So that's what Rabbi Shimon says. If you want to really be connected to something, you need to work hard for it. If you're not working hard for it, you're never really going to connect to it. And indeed, the sitter of the Ramak, Ramoshe Cordovero, who has a whole different school of Kabbalah,
Torah
Dvorah, right? So the Ramak brings down in his sitter Tefillah the Moshe. Pretty cool. That works out. Rabbi Shimon and his friends would stand for stretches of 7 days and 7 nights learning the Torah without sleep or food. Mamish, complete immersion. They were basking in the glow of the Shekhinah. They mamish were just immersed. Total immersion. And indeed, like I pointed out before in the Gemara and Shabbos, the Gemara says, "Mafsikin the Kriyat Shema, be'in mafsikin the Tefillah." We stop for Kriyat Shema, but we don't stop for Tefillah. I'm Rav Yochanan. Lo shanu ela kagon Rav Shimon bar Yochai. That's only true that we stop for Kriyat Shema, but we don't stop for Shimon Esrei by Rav Shimon bar Yochai. She Torah tan uman tan. Their Torah is their life. Aval kagon anu, but us mafsikin the Kriyat Shema the Tefillah. We do stop for Kriyat Shema and Tefillah because we're not totally immersed. But a real Talmud like Rav Shimon bar Yochai, he is so immersed in Torah that he won't even stop to daven because he's so connected in the state of dvikut when he's learning Torah. Okay, so you guys, just to summarize where we're holding right now, Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, what value are they both exemplifying? What value are they both teaching us?
Asceticism.
Asceticism, but not just asceticism for the sake of asceticism, but rather
for the sake of Torah.
Piety, complete and total immersion and submersion in Torah life, okay, in order to really crack it open. Okay? And this is something, listen, I can, you know, it's something that I can only say from personal experience. Torah is a light, and when I say Torah, I don't only mean Torah learning, I mean mitzvahs, I mean Judaism. It's something that needs to be cracked open. If you're not giving it 150%, you're not really going to be able to taste the true sweetness. If you're going 20, 50%, if you're going to learn a bit here and do a little mitzvahs here and taste and dabble, you're never really going to be able to taste the sweetness. I think you guys maybe, you know that, because you're here in a shir, but no one's requiring you to do it, and you're tasting it, but we've got to teach it to the world that the only real way to taste Torah Judaism is when you're in this state of total immersion. As much as we're balanced, and as much as we're Dati Lumi, and we believe in work and all that, for sure, but the only true way to crack the puzzle of Torah, of Shabbos, of Tefillah, is in total immersion. I think that's a value that Rabbi Shimon has to teach us, which is relevant for everyone in every generation.
The taste thing was a pun?
No, maybe. I don't know. Come on, Shad.
Azamish says that only after 3 to 4 hours of being fully immersed in Torah can you just start to appreciate the sweetness of Torah.
Which I would say in our ADD, phone-oriented, phone-obsessed society, let's try like 20 minutes. 20 minutes, put the phone away, you know? Like just mamish immerse a 20-minute power stag and see if it tastes a little different.
3 to 4 hours straight.
Straight.
3 to 4 hours straight, and then he goes through every step of the way. What happens after 5 hours, what happens after 6 hours.
I got to see that. Chazen.
When you hit 10 hours, the Chazen says you no longer differentiate between colors and pictures.
It's
held against some kind of like
it's a trip.
Like it's a trip, and he's describing like what you are in each state.
It's definitely a trance.
Yes.
It's definitely a trance. And I can't, listen, I can't tell you from experience.
We'll see it in the
future. Unfortunately, I don't have as much time to just learn and steig for the sake of steiging as much because I'm, you know, married and a teacher and whatever. But, like, when I get those rare moments of, like, a Shabbos morning at the Kotel and just learn Mishnah Berurah, it's, like, the sweetest thing in the world. And I'm sure you guys have also tasted it here in Yeshiva to a certain extent. If you haven't yet, taste it. And I'll give you one more word of chizuk to taste it. So Lag BaOmer, we all know is the same gematria, and many Sfarim bring this down, as Lev Tov. That makes sense. And the way that we understand it is that the first 32 days of the Omer is Lev, it's heart. And the next 17 days is Tov. Tov is a gematria of 17. In other words, Lag BaOmer is a time to get ourselves connected. And Tov, well, what's Tov? The Gemara says, Ein tov ella Torah. Ki lekach tov natati lechem. The Gemara in Bracha says, a tov is Torah. Gematria is aside. The point is that the 17 days post Lag BaOmer, as we climb the ladder towards Shavuos, are days where there's a particular openness, where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai has opened up the gates for this mysterious nefesh, for this going crazy. And really connecting to the Torah in this mysterious nefesh type of way. Okay, so if you haven't done it yet, don't worry, there's still time. Lag BaOmer and onwards, it's a special time, especially Shavuos, of mysterious nefesh to connect to Torah. Yeah?
Can you just explain that, you know, the gematria between...
Lev is 32, Tov is 17. There are 17 days from Lag BaOmer till the end of the Omer. And Tov is Torah. Because the Gemara says there's no Tov except Torah. Okay, so that's the Seder. Okay, getting back, bringing it all back. I'm not going to have time to answer all the questions. I think I'm going to talk more about that cave Torah on Friday. But bringing it back to modern Orthodoxy and sports and all that. So first of all, to start with sports. So I have no idea why the minhag became to play sports on Lag BaOmer. I have no idea if Rabbi Shimon Chai is happy with this or not. I don't really know. I'm not going to say it. But I will say that there is something, there is a connection. Because I think, like, I go really, really crazy when I play sports. And what I find is that if you're the type of guy that's, like, going to push yourself to go all out in sports, when you're running, you're giving it all out. You're giving it 150%. And if you're also the type of guy that can give it 150%, but at the same time be nice to the guy next to you and bring everyone's spirits up and make a joke and you know, and bring people up, I think that's the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai energy. And I think if you bring that energy to the court on your downtime, you can also bring that energy to the base matter.
Yes.
I think those energies are connected. And maybe that's why the minhag developed to, you know, or that's at least something we can take out of playing sports on Rashbi. Taking the passion, the 150% element of Torah learning and bringing it to every aspect of your life. But not just in sports. You know, Rabbi Lamb has a fantastic article where he talks about how modern Orthodoxy, what it was meant to be, was not that it's a compromise. You're not really Orthodox, but you're like in between. It's supposed to be passionately in the middle, passionately balanced. I passionately believe in Torah, and I passionately believe in going to the army, and I passionately believe in Avodah, and I passionately believe in all of these values. It's not meant to be a compromise. And so if we really believe that, and we can take this value of Rabbi Shimon and apply it to everything we do. Okay? So maybe it's not... It's also learning Torah, but we can apply this value to everything. And I think every one of us can find something that's our uniquely passionate thing that we... That makes us... That connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? And Lag BaOmer can be a day of tapping into that. So if you want, like, a suggestion... I think I brought it on one of these first sheets. I made a few suggestions. This is practical. There's a practical way to do this. Here, guys. Some of you guys have it. But really, it's just brainstorming, and you guys really should make your own suggestions. All right. Okay. This, and then take page two also, guys. Just to so this year is not just another cute cheer, but something practical. Here's page two. And page two. Okay. Sorry, I'm all over the place today. Okay. So first of all, don't worry about the Hebrew sources right now. And just more sources about how you have to kill yourself for Torah. The only way to really connect to Torah is killing yourself. So first of all, how do we bring the Rashbi's Torah into our lives on a practical level when it comes to Talmud Torah? One, at the end of each Torah I learn, at the end of each Gemara, at the end of each year, ask myself, the Igros Ramban suggests this, how do I apply this to my life? Then I can actually passionately bring it into my life. Two, like Rabbi Nachman says, daven, at the end of this year, daven that Hashem, take one aspect of whatever you learn and daven to Hashem that you actually bring into your life. And three, like we said before, try to have a 10-minute Torah session. No distractions, no phones, and mamash be immersed in it. It could be in your life you won't have time for an 8-hour Rashbi session, but you can make a 7-minute, you know, Panini Alocha Seder before you go to work, and that, if you bring your heart and soul into that 7 minutes can transform your whole day. It will transform your whole day, and it'll be a totally different day. That's in terms of Talmud Torah. Wait, one more thing, one more time. Brainstorm. Sorry, I went a little over today, but I'm just supposed to Rashbi, you'll forgive me. Where's my page? I lost it. Okay. So, what mitzvah can I be a zealot about? So, some suggestions, and you guys can write your own. Maybe I'll be the zealot that greets every single person with a smile when I go into shul. Maybe I'll be that guy who treats every single elderly person in the shuk or on the bus with super respect. Maybe I'll be that guy that mamish never talks in shul. Maybe I'll be that guy that says Asher Yatzer like a fanatic. I touch every word and I sing an Asher Yatzer song and everyone thinks I'm nuts. But that's my passionate mitzvah. Maybe I'll be that guy that goes to the Rav weekly shiur no matter what. Maybe I'll be the guy that gives tzedakah to every person and mamish with a smile. Maybe I'll be that guy that in campus, mamish wears a kippah on the basketball court and in frisbee field, always with a kippah. Maybe I'll be that guy that benches from a sinner no matter what. Maybe I'll be that guy, and this was mine in Shon Aleph when I heard this shmooze, that the last three steps, I'm going to run to shul. No matter what, where I'm at, I'm going to run to shul. And maybe I'll be that guy that makes it a personal, no matter what, a daily personal gratitude to God. These are just Rav Keith's random suggestions. But you got to find your own way, but you got to find one thing in your life that your mom is passionate about. And by the way, if you want me to hold you accountable to do it, I'm here, I'm happy. I'll send you a WhatsApp message every day. Did you do your zealotry thing of the day? Your Rabbi Shimon commitment. But you shouldn't walk out of Lag BaOmer without one passionate commitment.
Can I say I love your Rav Keith's top five Kabbalistic ideas that have eight different numbers?
Yes, Mamish. This shows me. Right.
We're beyond numbers.
Right? Mamish, we're in Lag BaOmer. I started early. should I read it or you guys just read it on your
Read it.
This was just today, I was just brainstorming. Number one, Kabbalat Shabbat, where would we be without the Rashbi, Kabbalah, Hasidus, dancing with joy? I don't know, personally, I don't know where I'd be. Number two, seeing the depth behind all of our holy traditions, the Kabbalah Chassidus teaches us that every little thing we do, Havdalah, cutting our nails, Chazarat HaShatz, Mayim HaChonim, these aren't just things mentioned in the Gemara, but they have deep, deep spiritual things to teach us. Three, Chassidus and Kabbalah teaches us to see the divine, to see the holy spark within every single person. Four, staying up all night learning Torah, the Mesiris Nefesh, that came down in a dream of Rabbi Shlomo Alkabitz in Svat.
And then Chadodi.
The Chadodi. Gevalt. Five, the importance of meditation and contemplation, like Rabbi Shimon in that cave, not just through learning, but also through integrating experiential aspects within our Judaism, thinking and making that a part of our avodah Hashem. I'm sure Rabbi Shimon had a lot of time to contemplate in that cave, and that's what helped him get to the deep levels that he got to. Six, seeing every word of tefillah, every single word, and every word of Torah and really every word of mitzvah as an aspect of dvikus, as a way to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and not just another another word, but every single word is being precious, and that's something that the Chaim Rivolozhin Nefesh Chaim goes on and on. But that's something that for me makes Kabbalah powerful. Seven, seeing all of life on the basketball court and the work field as an act with my wife in particular for sure as an act of dvikus, and finally the importance of hachana. The importance of preparation as even more important, like we started off this year. So just to sum up, Rabbi Shimon and Lag BaOmer, it's a very interesting, it's a very confusing holiday, but if there's something that I personally take out of it, it's that inyan of being zealous, of being passionate, of bringing that fire into our Talmud Torah and to all of our Avodas Hashem. May Hashem bless us this Lag BaOmer to connect to the deepest secrets of Torah and to be even more deeply connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to each other. Time.